The dark side in Star Wars canon is just kind of lacking when it comes to the variety of stories we had in Legends, but how can this new era incorporate some exciting new Sith stories? And what will the future hold for Star Wars animation? Welcome to Star Wars Uplink, your place for everything Star Wars gaming, the TV shows, and the movies. Let's jump in.
Just you reconsider playing that message for him.
This is a big complaint when you look at people talking about Legends versus canon, and I think it's a pretty fair one. I don't think we need to get into the specifics here, but when you look at Sith in Legends, there's a lot more of them, first of all, and they're way more oppressive and impressive, really.
Yeah.
We have examples of Sith draining the powers of entire planets and using that to attack others. And this is, I believe, during the KOTOR timeline. It was the time period before the Rule of Two really got put into place. So we have this moment in Star Wars where Sith and canon are kind of weak or just not really showcasing their powers, and then Sith in Legends, this before time, are quite powerful. And I want to talk about this, and I also want to talk about the specifics and how this could possibly change, because there's some lore reasons why this is the case as well. But first off, let's get into our thoughts on Sith and canon.
I kind of agree with the consensus of everyone that being like, why are the Sith kind of lame? I mean, ultimately in canon, we mostly see a strange time for the Sith. Like, they have been beaten down, and
It makes sense for them not to be as focused or as in the spotlight.
Yeah, as showy or as, just absolute terrors. Instead, we're getting, especially with Palpatine, we're getting this very, like, subversive, creeping in the background kind of thing.
Because they're not believed to be existed.
Right.
And another piece to this, like, puzzle when it comes to Star Wars Sith and canon, we basically only have one example of that, and it's Palpatine.
Yeah.
Palpatine is the Sith in all of the existence of Star Wars canon. So you can't really get anything else with that, because Snoke was a puppet of Palpatine,
right,
and Kylo Ren, which was heralding in this new effort for the Dark Jedi or Dark Side User Sith, kind of, but they didn't necessarily like... It's complicated.
Yeah.
In the sequel trilogy, Sith is very, like, different, because Sith is historically this one type of thing. And both the Jedi and the Sith representations in Rey and Kylo Ren, they are rebuilding what they think Jedi or Sith should be, rather than what they actually were.
Right. Yeah, there is this change with Rey and Kylo, where it's like it, and I feel like the Sith and the Jedi both totally were molded into something completely different because of just the time, and like the, especially the week with Kylo, it was like all we've seen of the Sith for decades now is just rule the world, rule the galaxy sort of thing. So there's just this...
they have one goal.
Yeah, it's like now we're just this empire that we're trying to keep established instead of, I just got to be the very best, like in the Force sort of thing. Like it's not... It is selfish. It is to gain for themselves and be very powerful, but it's totally different power than I think the Sith originally.
Yeah, it's a very lasting power, really, when you look at it like... The reason why there are so many Sith or dark side users in Legends is because they rose to such a power that they had to be stopped, and therefore they kept on either attacking each other or had to be stopped by some Jedi. So there's this chicken and egg situation where, like, yes, they need to be powerful, but once they become powerful enough, they also have to be stopped, otherwise the whole galaxy gets destroyed, and that just doesn't work from a lore perspective, really, for the ultimate continuation of the Star Wars galaxy. So we're in this really interesting spot when we look at dark side users, because we have tons of examples in Legends of these very powerful users. And then we have Palpatine, who's like looking at the past of the Sith, utilizing their strategies and their beliefs to give himself even more power.
For sure.
Without necessarily having to wield it at all.
And falling into the same traps that they did.
Uh-huh.
Which was just gorging themselves on this and then being almost too showy with it to make everyone, to make you a target, you know? Uh-huh.
But like he didn't even, like, from the examples that we have, if we look at just the movies, we don't have clear examples of him just using the Force to his, like, pure powerful sense of the Force. He's mostly wielding the power of politics.
Yeah.
Like, that's his strength, really.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he is supposed to be one of the most powerful Sith users, we don't get to see that in any of the mediums that we experience on the screen, at least. I know there's tons of books. There's, like, Lords of the Sith, and that's, like, a Darth Vader and Palpatine story. Really, really well-done story. Really enjoy that book. It's just fun to get in the minds of both of those characters. And there's tons of other examples where, like, the influence of the powers of Palpatine and Darth Vader and the Empire are there, but we don't necessarily see them as explicitly as we do in, like, a lot of the Legends materials.
Mm. Can we, like, get into what I feel like we're missing out on with the Sith?
Okay.
I feel like we're missing out on the showiness of the Sith. Like, I want to see what they could be capable of.
Uh-huh.
It's time we get some good new bad guys.
Yeah.
And I would love to see a Force-wielding baddie that's, like, scary. Like, could we get that?
I would love to see it. I think there needs to be something like that. Hopefully we get to see something like that in the next Rey movie, because there is an opportunity. There needs to be a bad... Mm-hmm. person, character, whatever that they need to fight over or fight against, really. There needs to be the semblance of evil, because Star Wars ultimately boils down to good versus evil and a hope that you can overcome evil. So there needs to be some semblance or symbol or character that is evil or represents evil in the Rey movie. We don't know what that's going to be, but I hope that there is something good there. I do think there's an opportunity with, like, the Dawn of the Jedi movie that there needs to be, with the birth of light, there also needs to be the birth of darkness. So there's that opportunity there. And we now officially have the Knights of the Old Republic, or the Old Republic era, officially acknowledged in canon for the first time at Star Wars Celebration. So there is opportunity. While we may be like, oh man, I wish we could see something like this in the existing time periods in the movies that we know are happening, there is the opportunity that once they get this set up, once they've proven they can do stuff outside of that Skywalker saga, that we go to the Old Republic era and we go to see, well, you have the High Republic era being the representation of, like, the height of the Jedi's power. The Old Republic is the war and the battle and the fight for control over the whole galaxy, between the powers of evil and the dark side and the powers of good with the Jedi.
Mm-hmm. I think you bring up a good point with Dawn of the Jedi, and that it's going to be really interesting how both come to be.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what they need to do. They need to implement that piece as well as this history of the Jedi.
For sure. You can't have one without the other. Mm-hmm. It's just, they go hand in hand.
Truly.
There is no light without the dark. There's no sun without a shadow, you know? Like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, this is the balance. This is the peace that we all love to see.
Yeah, it needs to be there. You can't notice unless there's a contrast, unless there is the opposite. You're not going to see the differences between the two. You're not going to know or why to care or how to care or properly, like, who to root for, unless you have this clear back and forth and that contrast of the story. And I think there's a lot of fun that can be had there. Obviously, it's going to be called Dawn of the Jedi, so there's going to be the focus on the Jedi. But I think at that same point, you need to look at the corruption. If it is maybe just the Dawn of the Jedi, I think there needs to be an opportunity or, like, a fork in the road of, like, maybe it's two siblings, or maybe there's like two friends, or maybe it's just like, maybe they're not even like related or have any relationship or knowledge of each other, but they become to be aware of each other. Mm-hmm. And that is where the differences of the two people, maybe one person finds this aspect and believes it to be good, and this other person finds this aspect and believes that is the right way to use it. And then there's that contrast and that conflict, because story is conflict.
Yeah.
That is what makes good stories good stories.
Yeah, we're not here to just sit and watch a happy little elf go about his day. As nice as that is. No, we need to see some growth and some butting of heads and some friction. And
oh, definitely. And I think there's opportunity for that. And I think we all as fans would love to see that, specifically since there has been such a lack of dark side users, and the Sith in particular. Mm-hmm. We're all kind of hoping for it. We're all wanting it. We all are expecting it at some point in the future to get these kinds of stories. So hopefully we get to see that at some point with the dark side users and the Sith in particular. Mm-hmm. We've got stuff like the Acolyte that is expected to go a little bit darker than we've seen before. That's still in question right now with the future of that being a long-running series. But hopefully we get to see some more of the dark side with that. But when we look at like long-running examples of Star Wars and the history and exploration of more stories in Star Wars, a key part of that is in the animation.
Mm-hmm.
While this new era of Star Wars has lived on the small screen in terms of the live-action Disney Plus shows, the previous gap was held over with the Clone Wars and the animated series.
Yeah.
So I think there is always this place for Star Wars. And you could go all the way back to the original trilogy with the holiday special and the Boba Fett animated show. So it's been there basically since the beginning, this expectation that Star Wars is also in animated form, just like Star Wars has almost from the beginning been in the video game form as well. There needs to be this place for Star Wars animation. And now that we're getting to the end of the Bad Batch, I do want to start thinking about like what we want to see in Star Wars animation once Bad Batch ends.
I think it's really interesting that we haven't heard anything about what's to come.
Yeah, I think the only thing that we have heard is that there probably will be more Tales of the Jedi.
Which makes sense.
That's not officially confirmed, I don't think.
And it's not what we've come to expect from the animated shows. Like, we've expected stories, not
not one-off, little character moments.
Yeah, yeah. We've expected, multiple seasons of a continual story.
Yeah.
It makes me a little suspicious, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. With the Bad Batch ending, are they holding something off because they don't want to spoil the ending of Bad Batch?
Yeah.
You know, is this...
Well, that's kind of the direction I wanted this discussion to go.
Okay.
Because now that we have Asajj Ventress there, are we going to see an Asajj Ventress show?
Right.
Because that could very easily carry the torch of what the Bad Batch set up and could still cross paths with the Bad Batch, just like the Bad Batch was built on the back of the Clone Wars, and that the Clone Wars season 7 set up what would eventually become Bad Batch, the TV show with the three seasons. I think we could be getting to the point where now that we have Ahsoka, now that door's kicked open,
right,
are we going to explore that in animated?
Right. It does kind of seem like there's a theme going on with the shows right now where it's we have one big hit and then we can kind of branch off with other characters.
Yes.
Like with Mandalorian, Ahsoka was there. And then with Boba Fett, Ahsoka was also kind of there. Or was she in that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now it's now we have an Ahsoka show. It's I see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
So is this going to be kind of one of those moments? Are we bringing that, what we've seen from the live action, into the animated series here? Yeah. And they're already opening up a whole box of worms with the M count and all this stuff with Bad Batch. That's I don't think we can, like, really close the door on this right now. Like,
yeah, no matter what happens or ends up happening with Bad Batch Season 3, we know that there is going to be something that has to happen. And some, and I highly doubt that there is going to be as strong of a conclusion with the next 7 episodes, I think, is what we have left. There still is that question of what Palpatine and Hemlock are working on in that secret area of Mount Antis. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of questions that I think will, no matter what solutions that we do have, there will still be more questions, because we're going to, I doubt that we're going to say, oh yeah, by the end of season 3 of The Bad Batch, in the finale, even though this is mostly focused on Omega's story, but in the finale, we're going to have the explanation of how Palpatine returns. Because that's ultimately, like, right. I've seen a lot of comments joking that, like, this whole show is just trying to make that one line of somehow Palpatine returned make sense. Mm-hmm. That's this era.
Yeah.
And I think you could even rope in a little bit of the Mandalorian era, like the Mandoverse mm-hmm. era, as a continuation of that, as we see more of this exploration into cloning
yep.
and how you can get M counts. But we do know at some point Palpatine is successful with cloning, because mm-hmm. the clone that dies on the Death Star is a clone.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's a lot to be said there when we look at these various examples of, like, all of the Star Wars coming together. But a big piece of that, the big thing that's, like, in the background moving these stories forward, is animated. What would you like to see? We talked about Asajj Ventress.
Right, yeah.
But what other kinds of stories would you see?
Kind of going off the Bad Batch thing.
Yeah.
What about an Omega show? Mm-hmm. Like, what if we're just, like, I don't know, something happens to the family, it's crumpled, yeah. She's deciding to go on her own, uh-huh. I don't know, maybe it's a Grogu actually choosing yeah. the lightsaber moment, maybe it's Omega's turn to yeah. have her own experience. And
while this is called The Bad Batch, right. it has slowly become more of, like, a focus on Omega, specifically in, like, probably the later half of season 2, and then, like, season 3, definitely it's more, like, focused around Omega and her mm-hmm. story and her growth as a character. I think there's opportunity for that. That depends on, like, if, because, like, Omega right now, she has her family. She has Clone Force 99. She has the Bad Batch, and they're all together, and she would not sacrifice that for anything. So what in the story has to happen for that to be the focus?
Mm-hmm.
But if there is something in the story that makes sense for her to go that direction, I think it could be interesting to see. While we have that master and apprentice from, like, the male perspective, and if you look at, like, Obi-Wan and Yoda and Luke, I think it would be fascinating to see this, like, other dynamic that makes more sense than, you know, Ahsoka and Sabine, of Asajj and Omega. I think that would be a fascinating combination.
That would be quite the combo, and I would be all here for yeah, it. Because
it's like the Slytherin Hufflepuff, like, yes, relationship of, like,
for sure.
dark and gloomy, and, like, everything's terrible, and then Omega's like the ray of sunshine. It's like, well, we're gonna be positive about all this.
Yes. I think, honestly, more than anything, I think Ventress needs her own show.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's such an interesting character, and the fact that they have brought her back just means,
yeah, even just her as, like, a bounty hunter.
Yeah. It just means that they know that there's more stories to tell.
Yes.
So I feel like there's a good chance that we're going to see her in another show mm-hmm. or maybe have her own show.
Yeah.
But the idea of Ventress training Omega is like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like,
the stories write themselves at that yeah, point.
Yeah. The growth that the both of them would have.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
It's very similar to, like, the Mandalorian and Grogu moment mm-hmm. of, like, oh, Grogu's going to help you find your humanity and, like, want for a better life. I think that could be flipped on its head a little bit and go with that direction with Asajj and mm-hmm. like add some extra depth to her character, especially after, like, her stories in Dark Disciple, where she is questioning a lot of, like, her past and her future, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the end where she dies and, like, everything's, like, dark and there's this glow of like Night Sister magic going on. I think there's a lot of opportunity for them to explore that side of things mm-hmm. and go that direction and showcase some of the history, but also what she's been up to. Like, what does it look like for her as the bounty hunter, as her trying to make her way throughout the galaxy with having died, but also been very, I don't know, like in the forefront of the previous war.
Yeah.
So like, how does she hide? Also, now that they're looking at the M-count numbers, like how does she hide that fact that mm-hmm. she is a Jedi? And then ultimately, like hiding herself against the Inquisitors.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff going on there that I think would be so cool to explore.
And if she has Omega with her, it just adds a whole new layer of complications because yes. she's actually being looked for. And like, man, that would be so fascinating. Yes. Also, it would be fascinating to see two women.
Mm-hmm.
Have a woman show. I know they're kind of doing that with Ahsoka.
Yeah, but even though the whole focus of that is like, let's find Ezra.
Yeah, it's still male oriented.
Yes.
So let's just have some ladies on the scene. Uh-huh. Come on.
No, I think it would be really cool, and I think there's an opportunity for that. And another theory that I have is like, obviously going off the back of the Tales of the Jedi, we know we're gonna get more Tales of the Jedi stuff, but what does it look like? Also tying in our previous discussion. Tales of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
We saw with Visions, Star Wars Visions, we had the first season that was like Jedi focused. There were some dark side episodes in there, but season two was very much dark side focused and dark side marketed. What does it look like for Tales of the Sith to happen? Go back into the KOTOR era, go back into like these darker stories, go back into the early days of Palpatine, like mm-hmm. like we saw with Count Dooku. I think there's opportunity for more of that focus and to go into the darker aspect of things and help set up future explorations of like the dark side of the Force.
I actually think this could be a really important show.
Yeah, because they could prime the pump.
Exactly. And they can actually be like educating or re-educating all of us who have only read the Legends novels. Yeah. You know, it's like, no, educate us into what you think canon uh-huh. Sith are going to be.
Yeah.
You know, like prime
help
us.
Set the expectations.
Exactly. Prime us for something that's to come.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually think that it could be a really important show for yeah. us all.
No, I totally agree. I think it would be really fun to go in that direction. They could go with more of like, they could go into like the early days of Darth Vader and explore that side of the Sith. They could go into Palpatine and his rise to power. They could go even further back into some of like the more famous characters. They could go into some of the Acolyte tie-in stuff once that comes out. Like, there's a whole opportunities. They could create new ones. They could go into the Inquisitorious side of things. There's a lot of these opportunities for them to explore these characters that might not be explicitly Sith,
mm-hmm.
but at least Sith adjacent if you look like that, the Inquisitors, or going back into some of those historical moments and maybe doing some remixes.
Yeah.
I think there's some cool stuff that they can do there.
The trick with the Sith, though, is that they're bad.
Uh-huh.
How do you market this predominantly, especially in
well, like Palpatine,
an animated...
you have his master, which is like even more evil.
Right.
So you could kind of contrast it with that.
Right.
But I definitely see your point here.
It's just, especially in a medium that is often targeted for children, I could see them being like, how do we tell these really horrible stories?
Disney's like,
children?
No, we're not doing that.
Which is such a shame.
Yeah,
I think we all need this.
Animation, Guillermo del Toro has this thing of like, animation is a medium. It's a medium for film. It's not explicitly for children.
No.
And I would hope that we can see more of this exploration into that idea. Like, we do have Tales of the Jedi. Maybe that is more like children focused, or it doesn't have to be, but maybe there's this Tales of the Sith, or there's this exploration into this more mature side without being like super gruesome or anything like that,
yeah.
but having more mature themes like you're talking about, like the evil rising. And I think that's just as impactful for people to be aware of like, how do people become evil?
Mm-hmm.
And what are those things in contrast that with the Jedi stories? I think there's some opportunity there.
For sure. Yeah. And honestly, I think kids also still need to see that. Like, I think
yeah.
these are important topics to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just, I could see trouble arising with the medium and with Disney's
family-friendly brand.
Yeah, and and just their approach to all things animated and whatnot. They have a brand that yes. they need to keep clear.
But
so.
Like, there are some moments in Clone Wars that are very dark.
So. Oh yeah.
I think there could be opportunity for this.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure.
But we'll see. Mm-hmm. Let us know your thoughts on our theories today, as well as your hopes for Sith and Dark Side users in canon, as well as what animated Star Wars show you would like to see next. Let us know in the comments if you're watching this on YouTube, or contact at uplinkpodcast.com if you're listening to this wherever you find podcasts. As always, thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.